So, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's what we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I know everyone is frothing at the fucking, at the lips to get out there in the fucking nice weather. Their hormones are pumping. They're fucking juiced up. So it is an extra special treat that y'all take some time out of your busy, sex-crazed, whatever crazed to pop us in your ears. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. So thank you all for listening. If you haven't listened to Dispatches before, we have two major objectives on this show. First, we want to take the best of the best in the underground. We want to pull it out of there and smash it in your face and hopefully remind you of the passion you should be living this life with. Because on the other side of things, we want to also look straight at the mainstream bullshit that just bogs us down all the time. The capitalists who just sap our souls. We want to look at that stuff, look at it square in the face and see, is there anything good in there? Should we just throw it all out, or should we try to find some good kernels in there that we should pull into the underground and live with? And or should we just burn it all down? And we want to do both those things. Look at the bad stuff that bogs us down all the time, and also, hopefully, light a fire under our asses to fucking get us going and building this underground empire that will hopefully take over the bullshit eventually. That's what we want to do in this show. That's what we're going to do today with our incredible guest who has come back to join us today. Ev Gold from Cinema is going to be joining us again. They just released their new album. Cinema just released their new album back in April. Man Bites Dog, you can get it on their Bandcamp page. Make sure you pick up a copy. It is fan-fucking-tastic. And they are just finishing up their tour in Europe. And All Torn Up, my band, is going to be headed to Europe very soon. So I was just sitting down with Ev and just sort of like going over some of the notes he had and some suggestions he had off of being in Europe. And he was kind enough to do another episode with me. And I thought, you know what? We're two dudes who have been into some heavy music. We know each other from playing crazy shows, getting wild on stage and doing a lot of aggressive stuff. I thought it was important for us today to get in touch with our more sensitive side. And remember that it's not just all about aggression, although I like the aggression and I think that's important. There's also another side to us. We're complicated dudes. We're not just simply one note characters. Well, more him than me. I'm a little bit one note, but he's a complicated dude. And I wanted to talk to him about love and romance. And, I know it's in the air. Everyone's feeling it. Everyone's excited about life, even though everything's just miserable. They find a way to still be excited about these things. So I wanted to talk to him about how he balances being in a relationship with so many of you are, you know, just, it's mainstream. Everybody has someone they care about. And how does he balance being on tour and living his underground life and living this life of music and art and being in this relationship? How does he balance that? And I think a lot of people can identify. It's not just for musicians to figure out how we can better relate to our partners, but also anybody who is in a serious and committed and loving relationship or wants to be in a serious and committed and loving relationship. How do you balance that with the other things you're passionate about, whether it be, you know, a hobby or whether it be some other underground thing, art, visual art, you know, podcasting, whatever you're passionate about? How do you balance that with the love of your life as a person? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about some advice on that front that Ev has and that some of the things that I've experienced, maybe on the negative side of it. And we're also going to talk about the challenge of being in a relationship where you're empowering the other person. And I think this is something that needs to be talked about more in this country. It's something that is not reflected upon enough. And although I do think it is better than it used to be, better than when my parents were in a relationship together, but I think it's something that's super important, and I think Ev lives that life in his relationship, and I with his partner, Lauren, and I try to do that with my partner, Christine. And Christine and I just got married last month, So, you know, we're trying to always improve and be more dedicated. So I thought we would reflect on that a little bit after my newly declared vows or whatever. And, you know, even though I know we're two dudes talking about this, I do think that this often comes down on women more than men. And I don't know if it's appropriate for us to be completely talking about it without a woman here, but I do think it's important to recognize that a lot of times in relationships, it's a woman who's expected to, you know, wrongfully so, it's a woman who's expected to give up her dreams in order to help the man fulfill his. And we've seen that throughout history, and it's just a terrible reality. And, you know, I don't think that's what we do. So I think we're going to talk about how we balance, you know, us chasing after our dreams and being in a relationship where we make sure we encourage the other person to chase after theirs. And that's the kind of relationship we want to be in. That's the kind of relationships we foster. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and the challenges of that. And maybe we can give some advice, or maybe we can commiserate. I don't know. One of the two will happen. And on the second side of the episode, we're going to talk a little bit about romance, because I think all too often folks look at me and maybe they look at Ev and they see, you know, I don't know about tough dudes, but, you know, dudes who aren't so interested in this side of the world. Maybe fighters, not lovers, right? Because we're pretty aggressive when we play our music. And we get that a lot when we play. You guys are bringing a lot of hostility and energy to your performances. But I don't think that, you know, encapsulates who we are. We're more complicated than we appear on stage. So we're going to get in touch with that. And maybe it may seem a little fucking silly for these two, like, gnarly, grizzled dudes to be talking about this. But we're going to talk about the complexity of romance. And we're going to display a little bit of a vision of the Joey Steele and Ev Gold ideas of what romance is. So you can get a little peek into our cold black hearts or whatever they are. Anyway, this episode's all about love. My love for Ev and his music. And, well, he didn't actually... I don't think he's ever going to say his love for me or my music, but I'll just say his love for me and my music, although it's probably not entirely true. And our love for our partners and our love for you, the listeners, and everything else. It's a bunch of love. This is the hippie episode. This is as hippie as it's going to get, everybody. Two New York hardcore dudes talking about love. I hope you all enjoy the humor in that, or the seriously... lacking humor in that. I don't know which one it is. But thank you, Ev, for getting down with me again and talking to me a little bit about your relationship. And I hope your partner doesn't yell at you for this. And I hope, thank you, Christine. I hope you don't yell at me for this either. Yeah, and we're going to listen to some tunes along the way. So that's what the episode's going to be. Let's get to the episode. We're going to listen to some tunes, and we're going to talk to Ev Gold from Cinema Cinema. Get down. Before we get to the interview with Ev Gold from Cinema Cinema, I want to start this episode off with some New York City hardcore, which is where we are, and this is what we do. So I figure that's a good idea for us to start there. Plus, this episode is obviously all about love, and I think this band will bring a song that I think helps you understand the love that we feel deep inside of us here in New York City and in hardcore. All Torn Up, my band All Torn Up, is playing with this band June 29th, Scenic Presents put us on a show with Conflict and these guys. Conflict dropped off, but we're still happy to be playing the show. I don't know them very well, but I do love Born Against, which is my favorite New York City hardcore band of all time, one of my favorite bands of all time. And I know this band played with Born Against a bunch, so this is as close as I'm ever going to get to playing with Born Against, so I'm pretty stoked about the whole thing. Here is Citizen's Arrest from right here in New York City. They're going to be playing their song. I'm not sure if this is a love song, but I think it might be a pretty good example of New York City's love. So it's called Serve and Protect by Citizen's Arrest. We'll see you June 29th at the Brooklyn Bazaar. Get down. Doesn't do so much. You put my fear in a deep salon. Right. all the lovebirds are like in flight or coming back. I don't know what lovebirds actually do, so that metaphor is falling kind of flat. But I feel like a lot of people are looking at this podcast today and they're saying, all right, Ev Gold is back with Joey Steele. Ev Gold from Cinema Cinema is back again. Joey Steele from All Torn Up, and they're talking. And obviously, the only conclusion of what they're going to talk about is romance and love. When you go to a Cinema show or an All Torn Up show, you go there primarily for the music and then secondarily to meet your significant other, because a lot of people do that. I think that's a big thing. I think it's
there
a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when you think New York City punk and hardcore, it's you thinking love.
Romance.
Romance.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that today and probably give you all chump-ass motherfuckers out there, not to presume anything about you, but chump-ass motherfuckers out there, a couple romantic tips about how to be a better partner. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll just talk a bunch of shit and then hopefully our loved ones will know that we appreciate them more. But I'm getting married. I don't know if you know this, Ev, but... when this episode airs, I will have just gotten married, and to Christine, and hopefully she said yes. Maybe she fucking backed out. If she is smart and didn't have any Stockholm syndrome, back the fuck out. And you've been with Lauren, right?
Yes.
For a while now.
8 years.
8 years. I've been with Christine for 8 years. So we're in the 8 year honeymoon stage.
Yeah, there we are. There we are. Two rockers or whatever we are. I don't know what you call us. You know, out traveling the world. Party land. Rock and roll all night and party every day land. And here we are, responsible partners in committed relationships and finding a way to keep the romance at the forefront.
Does Lauren get upset about the constant touring? I mean, you guys are touring, you know, what, 6 months of the year? Date wise, would you say about 6 months?
Something like that. You know, I'm fortunate with Lauren for the fact that literally her and I met at the sixth or seventh show that Paul and I did. I try not to tell the tale like I met her at a cinema show, because that sounds like we have groupies and we have, you know, like no. Let me just dial you
she
into
happened
reality.
To be at the bar and you caught her before she left.
We were playing pianos in the Lower East Side in July of 2008. It was, like I said, the fifth or sixth show that Paul and I had done together. We were at the bottom of the bill with opening band playing the 7 o'clock. It's still daylight outside because it's summertime slot. And our draw at that point, being a band for 6 months, was about zero. So we showed up to do our gig and we load in. We get a quick little line check. And I took notice of this very, very, very beautiful woman by my approximation, who had come back to watch us sound check.
What?
And of course she's, you know, across the back of the room, and it's dark, and like we're the opening band and no one's even there yet. The sound guy barely wants to be there. But I was forced to take note of this very beautiful individual who decided to mosey back to just take a look at what this band was doing sound check wise. So to fast forward through that a bit, we play the gig. You know, it's a gig. And sure, by the time we got a few songs in, did some people start to straggle and scraggle or whatever the word is, scraggle, straddle, whatever. Straddle isn't the word. Did some people start
to straddle in? They were
straddled in. Yeah. So, you know, the room filled up a bit. You know, some people, like I said, we were the bottom band on the bill. The headline band was a band called The King Left. So if anyone in The King Left is listening, thank you. I'm very appreciative because it was because of them that I met Lauren. Her older brother was a friend of the drummer in The King Left.
Oh, okay.
So she had come to see The King Left, and The King Left was headlining, and they were going on like 11, but she was freshly in Parsons School of Design, you know, early 20s. She's, you know, once living in Manhattan, living in Soho at the time. She was out, you know, she was seeing the 7 o'clock band. It was part of, you know, she was going out for the night. It wasn't the fickle, like, I'm just going to go see the band and get there 10 minutes before they go on. You know,
she was new to the city?
Somewhat new to the city.
Obviously, if she was there to see the 7 o'clock band, she didn't know the New York City rules that you can't come to the first band.
Yeah.
You certainly don't walk into the sound check.
Exactly.
That's a catch. I don't know which point is harder for me to believe, that Cinema Cinema was ever on the bottom of a bill, or that that there was anyone actually a beautiful woman listening to your sound check. I don't know which harder to believe in New York City. Okay, all right.
I love that we've gone romance style, Mr. Steele. I love that we're going romance style.
Obviously, it had to be done.
But just to answer your question, Lauren met me at the sixth show. Paul and I were just starting to pull up our bootstraps and figure out that we were going to start going crazy touring as soon as Paul got his first car, because Paul is 10 years younger than me. At the time, I was 29. Paul was 19.
Holy shit.
So, and of course, so Paul was too young to even be in pianos, but he was playing drums. So Paul was on the verge of buying a brand new vehicle, and our plans were the second he got the vehicle, we were going to start to drive all over America and hopefully maybe one day beyond. So Lauren and I met that night, and she literally met me right at the most innocent, honest, true moment possible. It was at the start of the band, and I made it really clear to her when we met that I was in a relationship in my 20s. I was actually married in my 20s, and that ended in divorce, and that crashed and burned for many reasons. But one of the main ones, at least as far as I can see, is that there was some sort of limitation that was being put upon me as an artist, as a musician, as someone who just has this thing inside them burning that has to get out. I was being told by my partner that no, you know, like I can't go do the band as often as I want to. No, going and traveling and, you know, all of the whatever jealousy, whatever lack of faith, whatever issues that were there were very present with that relationship. And I thought that that was just probably how it goes for everybody out there. And I had kind of resigned myself to like, okay, you know, I'm in a band. We play once a month locally. All our friends come out to the show, so it feels like we're rock stars because once every other month we could get 50 people into our local bar. You know, I was in that kind of a band through my 20s and with the aspirations to do more, but it was very limited by the relationship I was in. So the romance was blotting out any kind of life. There was no romance. And ultimately that ended in divorce and I was liberated. And upon getting divorced from that individual.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Liberated. Oh, I'm sure that she felt liberated from me as well. But this is my fucking interview and this is a podcast about my music. So you know what? I was fucking liberated from that hell. Yeah, fuck this diplomacy. I could be calm when they steal my guitars. I can't be calm when my life force is being denied and stubbed out. So upon getting out of that horrifying relationship with the wrong person, I said, you know what? I have a new goal. I've only played gig like here in New York. Like I want to play gigs in all 50 states. That's what it became. Because I was already 29. So this idea of like I'm going to be this young, dumb, full of cum, famous young 20-year-old musician, that's out the window. I'm already on my way to 30. I'm already on my way into the real world. And you know what? I hadn't even played a show outside of the New York state lines. So I said, you know what? Screw these big, gargantuan, grandiose, idiotic goals that you form when you're 13 and then the world around you changes between 13 and when you grow up, and then by the time you're doing your band when you've grown up, the world changed, so you can't achieve those old goals. But the old goals I might have had were out the window, and a new realistic goal was set. I'm getting divorced, I'm taking control somewhat of my life, and the main thing is I'm putting music at the front of it, and I want to play gigs in all 50 states. And what do you know? My cousin is willing, ready, and able, and there's a chemistry, and we're going to do this together. So that kind of the lane cleared, and it was in front of me, and like this is it. I'm going to start doing my work, my life's work. It took until 29 to do it, and then 5, 6, 8 months later, I meet Lauren. So when I met Lauren, I was very fresh in this kind of place of like being honest, like I feel something here. But I'm going to be pursuing this music full bore, like full bore. So I think being that there was just like an honest point from the beginning that she could see that I had a very set priority to go after this thing that I felt I needed to with a real intensity. She and coupled with the fact that she's an artist,
she's a visual artist.
She's a visual artist. She was in Manhattan taking classes at Parsons. She's a current day. She's a fashion designer, but she is an artist who can excel in all mediums. So, herself being an artist, she had that. She had an appreciation, at least, and an understanding that I have this thing inside me. I can't just decide to turn it on and off, or just turn it off forever. So we set forth into this relationship with me touring as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Paul and I were then driving to Cincinnati. We're driving to Kentucky. Now we're flying to Texas. And then we're doing this. And present day, you know the story. Yeah. But the romance and the love and everything was there because it started from a really equal playing ground place. And her being an artist as well kind of helps. And it's only let the relationship grow. So I find it present day when I go travel. It was probably easier in the beginning because it was new, and I was so appreciative of the fact that she was cool with it, and I was so excited about all these new places that I'm going, and I'm still jumping out of my shoes every single time I go any place to play a show, let alone a new place. But once it started to become a little bit more like common in Paul and my approach to doing the band, which was just tour, do it as much as we can. I'll come back, work the job, get off the job, do the tour, da-da-da. As that's become more and more common over time, I found as the years have worn on, now I'll be on a tour and I'll find really like I'm missing her, but I'm also valuing that I can do this unencumbered by emotional attachments other than the fact that I am missing her because I miss her like for real. I'm not missing her because she's texting me like, you know, now you've been gone for this. It's like, yeah. No, I'm not being provoked to miss her.
Yeah.
I can genuinely miss her. So when other different things come dancing along on the road and they come into our frame of in front of us and decisions are made, I don't party. Like I don't drink and I don't do any of that stuff. So being able to stay really aware and really present and know that I have a great relationship that's worth everything to me it isn't that much of a challenge when I'm out on the road. You know, I mean, it's got a chance to grow really naturally.
You know, I find this is true with a lot of bands who play like primarily in New York City, and also some folks who play like I grew up with back. I'm from Ohio originally, and so people will come up. They'll be like, oh, you know, it's great that you're getting married, but isn't Christine like really upset when you go on tour for these long periods? And I'm like, what do you mean? And I like. Whenever I first got asked these questions, I didn't really understand what they were asking because it didn't make sense to me. I'm like, why would she be upset that I'm following my dreams? Like, that's a weird question. It's like, is your wife upset when you follow your dreams?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that
man.
Sounds really horrible. Yeah. How's that going for you?
Yeah.
But I also think that they, like, their relationships, I think, you know, maybe I'm hypothesizing a little bit about their relationships, but their relationships are like they become this new thing that's sort of like they've given up on everything they've ever imagined in their life, and now they've become something new. And I think maybe they don't like their life so much, but maybe they do. Maybe they like this new thing they are. And it strikes me as odd. Like, why wouldn't – and they're like, oh, well, what does she say about that? I'm like, the fuck do you mean? What does she say about that? Like, don't go. Like, are you thinking she's saying don't go? Like, why would you be with someone who doesn't want you to do that?
Exactly.
I
mean, you just distilled everything that I was trying to get at. Like, why, when there are a multitude of other individuals in the world, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like it's like the guy who's got to cheat on his wife with his wife's sister. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like when there's so many fish in the sea. Why would you decide to settle upon a fish that decides they would rather have you on a leash where they could watch what you do and fill out some sort of a predestined, you know, life that they have in mind for them? Why would you choose that?
Yeah.
Like that? Like there are more choices behind door number 2, 3, and 4. And why would I be in? I agree with what you said so much. Like, why would I be in a relationship with someone who might get upset about me doing what I love?
Because
that's what it comes down to, Joey. I mean, I don't think that neither of us are 22-year-old fresh children chickens anymore running around like, oh, it's just punk rock, man. Yeah, like I'll be 39 in August. And I am speeding up at the rate at which I need to do my art because now I'm kind of accelerating in the number that my age is. Who knows how long I'm going to be here? There isn't time for wasting. There isn't time for bullshit. So why would I waste my life being with someone who wants to limit my life experience? And moreover, shoe on the other foot, I would never, I guess, you know, I think of Lauren and her artistic endeavors and I would never want to try to get in the way or thwart an opportunity of hers because of what I deem to be okay for her life. Because that's just, that's not how we do it as human beings. You know,
sadly,
like, I mean,
it is too much. You know what I think?
Sadly, it is too much. And that's why
we get it all. I'm sure you get it all the time. I get it a lot too. People, you know, we're getting married. So then people bring this up more and more. They're like, well, you're not going to tour as much. And I'm like, oh, you're not going to do it. I'm like, I just started two new bands. I don't know what you're saying. Like,
I'm getting married and it's a gig.
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
You know, I you're getting married at Sunnyvale,
yeah,
which is a large venue. It got to be a 300 cap venue. You're in five bands and all five of them are playing. you know,
six,
like,
so one of them didn't make the cut.
You know, I mean, that's a healthy relationship.
But I think so many people's relationships are based on fear. Like, they're afraid of failure, so they don't try this, or they are afraid that their partner's going to leave them, so they don't push it, or they're afraid they're not going to be stable, so they work their job that crushes their soul. Mm-hmm. Like, the stability is a real thing, and I'm not just saying, like, that's ignorant fear. Those are real things to be afraid of
entirely.
But that's not really life. That's just like getting by. You know,
yeah.
That's like calling swimming floating. Like, if you're floating, you're not really fucking swimming. You're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
You're just fucking floating.
Exactly.
You know, if life is about getting to the where you need to go, then you're just floating by, man. You know, it's sad. I feel bad about it when they say these things.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I agree with you entirely.
And I'm just saying that because I think we're lucky, Ev. And basically, everybody out there who's listening in who doesn't feel this way, you fucked up, and we're basically helping you.
Yeah, listen, you fucked up. You can still get divorced. If you're relegated to, like, this man cave thing where, like, all of your things that you love are stuck in some little room or something, like, there's still time for you. You shouldn't have to feel ashamed to be who you are. I mean, the key to life, and the key with my relationship with Lauren, and the key overall, I find, is that I need to be myself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in situations where I'm forced to be something else other than myself, generally it yields lesser results. And, you know, look, I did buy into the entire, like, well, I guess a bad relationship is just the only relationship, because I told you I was married. I had to get divorced to get out of that fucking hell. But being that I was one of those people who ate the shit burger and was smiling with brown fucking smudges on my teeth, I can tell you now that you can go on from that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, there is that fear, the fear of the conventionality that's pushed upon us. And I think, like, when a lot of couples couple up, you know, it becomes like, well, what is, you know, that keeping up with the whoever's next door, you know, well, now that, well, after X amount of years, we should be engaged. And the engagement should only last so long because the wedding will have to be like this. And then it gets into this kind of, like, predicting and, you know, and prophesizing and basing yourself on a result when you're not loving living inside the equation. That's what this life is. You don't get the result, people. You're in the equation the whole time. Life's a journey, not a destination. Yeah, that's true. So if you have to be able to coexist with your mate and be in that give and take and be happy there, not like, well, we had the telltale this and we had the beautiful that and we had the honeymoon of this, but is there anything there when that all fades and peels away? And sadly, you know, like, everyone, you know, kind of is in just such a rush to, you know, oh, well, married by this age and this by that age. Like, you gotta let go of those expectations. All they are limitations. All it is a ceiling on what is a boundless experience of life, but you're locking yourself in a small corner. Like, you gotta let go. You'll find the right person. Especially if you stop trying to be so specific and you stop looking.
And maybe punks and DIY folks and DIY musicians, maybe we're a little bit better at this. I feel like we're a little bit better at this because our dreams are constantly being destroyed and we have to constantly be remaking them because, like, we had these insane visions when we got into it, but then it's like, oh, fuck, I got to do all this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's actually a lot harder than working a job and there's no money involved. That's
none.
Why did I do that? But then you still do it and you're like, this is so much more fulfilling. This is so much more life affirming. And so maybe we're better at dealing with dashed dreams than other people. And so our relationships, maybe I find they're a lot healthier than, like, mainstream couples who maybe they've never pushed it. They've never tried. They've never gone outside those boundaries. And this is not just advice or, you know, whatever it is, thoughts about dudes. Like, I think this is even more true for women, even though obviously we shouldn't be speaking for women. But, you know, I think that a lot of young women have so much, and we see it in New York, is endlessly. Parsons, you know, Pratt, all these schools are filled with intensely talented women mm-hmm. who I think are really not given a lot of you know, space to create their art, and they end up in, I've seen so many amazing artists, women artists, end up in fucked up relationships where the art goes to the side, especially musicians, because we know more musicians, but visual artists too, their art goes to the side because they're putting their dreams aside for their partner's dreams or whatever, or because they need to make money because their partner's fuck up in a band. No offense anyway. Maybe we should get off that topic, but I mean, it's just, I think there's a lot more truth to women putting their dreams aside than even dudes who maybe had dreams in business or something. So, you know, don't fucking give up on your dreams for a partner. That partnership is not really a partnership. It's a fucking dictatorship.
Yeah, if the partnership isn't one with which the partner is not entirely supportive of you doing what makes you happy, it's the wrong partnership. That's where it's at.
Let's take a break here. Let's listen to a tune, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the tribulations of these things. We're going to talk about some of the tense moments we have in these partnerships. They're not all glorious. There's some challenges. So we're going to talk about those pains in a second. Obviously, we're going to be hypothetical. We're not talking about our partners because they're amazing. Christine, Lauren, you're incredible. Thank you.
We love you.
Yeah, but then you might want to stop now. So if it's you two, if everybody else, keep listening. Get down. Let's take a break. Let's listen to a tune. We're going to take a break and listen to a tune from Ev Gold and his band Cinema Cinema off their new album, Man Bites Dog. Here's Digital Clockwork Orange. Get down. We'll be right back. All right, let's continue our romance engagement here with Ev Gold from Cinema Cinema and Joey Steele from All Torn Up. The love lines are open, everybody, so just give us a call. When you go on tour and when you come back, mm-hmm. do you feel obligated or do you feel excited about doing something special or unique with your partner? Like, do you have plans? Like, do you think things out? Like, do you feel like more, maybe pressure is not the word, but like responsibility, I think would be a good word, to your relationship or to her or to yourself to do something with that time together because you have less time than you might want to otherwise?
That's interesting. Well, I can say, in terms of like trying to plan something special out or to have some sort of a specific quality time post tour or touring, I draw back on the memory of the Black Flag touring that we did in 2014 because that
was long. It was like 3 months.
Yeah,
right?
that was the longest on and off that we had done. It was over 3 months with only like I think there was like two breaks. One break was 4 days and one break was 5 days or something like that. And Black Flag SST Records is based in Texas, so I mean, essentially we would end or begin in Texas. That being said, we'd fly in and out of Texas, so. On those breaks, I felt a specific want to make sure we spent the small amount of time before I'd be right back out the door doing everything we love to do together, like all at once. I would have these crazy brainstorms on the plane back, like, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and then we're going to go there because she loves that, but I love this, but then we're going to see that, and then we're going to do this, and... Ultimately, by the time you get home, the exhaustion kicks in, and then you see this person that you love, and I felt this kind of click of like, oh, I love her even more. You know, like the mist definitely made it grow. You know, the playing the large shows and having things go really well and just feeling really positive about things, I felt like even stronger in our relationship. And we did treat those two little breaks we had in the midst of that. We did every single thing we could and had as much fun running around, like no rules, like little kids, like as we could. I found that stretch of time to be a little bit more particular, it pertains a little bit better to your question as far as having some special plans and returning from tour. I know that otherwise, when it isn't like I'm going to be home, but then I'm going to go right back out, depending upon the allotment of time and how far away I am, that kind of like measures how big I make the plans or how badly I'd like to do something nice with her as soon as I get home. You know, I mean, to be countries away in different time zones, because then you start to factor in the actual communication. Like touring in America, staying in touch isn't that hard. And if I make sure that I'm, you know, available at a certain point of time each day, you know, a FaceTime or a phone call or whatever beyond just the texting can happen on a regular basis. In Europe...
Oh, you're a better man than me. Touring is so much more brutal than anybody knows, and being in communication with another person on top of the communication with these fuckheads you're in a band with. No offense to the fuckheads, but it's tough, you know.
Well, for me, what I found specifically, I don't party at all. And party to me refers to like booze and blow and like, you know, party. I don't do any of that. I have my fun in other ways. And that's not to say that I've never done that in my whole life, but for a long, long time now, I don't do that. So I find that when I'm on the road, when there's a bit of a lull that might be filled with some kind of, you know, goofing off behavior, I would use that time to kind of plug back in and make sure I could get in touch with Lauren, just to continue to stay centered, continue to stay kind of like... in a decent place spiritually, because you're not getting rest. You're not, you know, you're not in the best scenario. You're not eating. These people love your band, but those people in the corner, they're giving the finger to you. And it's just this kind of like, you're existing in all these worlds at once. I mean, for me, I couldn't picture what it's like to then throw beer and booze and stuff top of it. So, I mean, at those points when there'd be a lull, if sound check is over or whatever, or, you know, later on in the night before loadout or whenever I could, I would try to, almost for myself as much as for the relationship, have the routine of like, now's when I'm going to touch base with Lauren. But that's in America. When we do the traveling abroad, when we go all over, then it changes a bit. And that's when I start to make like more of like like a grand plan about doing something nice when I get home. Like when I travel around America, it's not so much because I love her. I'm proud of her. She's proud of me. There's a mutual support. We're speaking. But when we go to Europe, it's like, okay, I'm at the mercy of Wi-Fi and Skype and a 6 or 7 hour difference. You know, I mean, I'm finished with the gig. It's, you know, we're trying to get some shut eye. It's 2 in the morning, but it's 7 p.m. back here and she's just getting home from work, you know, so we'll speak. But then the next venue doesn't have Wi-Fi, or the dungeon that we're sleeping in underneath the venue doesn't have Wi-Fi, so we won't speak that day. So when we travel far and wide, I definitely find myself thinking more of like, how can I do something nice with her when I get home? That's not to say that I don't think of that other times, but yeah, you know, it's a little bit more when the communication lines go down, because I do make a concerted effort to keep communication with
her. Ev, you made us all sound like shit there. Thank you very much, Ev. I hope that Christine is not listening to the rest of this interview, because I mean the communication's so tough. You're such a good guy. I mean, I'm sure Lauren knows it, but if Lauren is still listening to this podcast, which she probably isn't, she should know.
She hears enough of this all the time.
Never tune in, but
thank you.
You know, that's really, I think that's really special, and I know that you know, it's tough for a lot of musicians who are constantly touring to be in healthy relationships, because being on the road, not because of partying, because I think a lot of musicians now, especially people who started out DIY, we're not getting down with the party shit. You know, it's like we're this is, you know, tough work.
Agree.
We're focused.
Agree.
But it still is a lot of time away. And when you come back, you're exhausted. When I come back, I mean, I just want to hang out. I just want to spend time with her, not doing stressful stuff. Cause my, you know, you don't want to go, I don't want to go around anymore. It's like, but they do, because they've been trapped at home.
Without you.
It's tough, and I think a lot of other musicians don't have such an appreciation to it. So you're making us all sound like shit, Ev. Thanks a lot. But let's go down that road a little further. Let's make us all look a little worse.
Sure.
What does romance look like for cinema? What is your, maybe it's not even something that you've done, but like, what would like an idyllic like Ev Gold date be for Lauren? And Lauren is not listening. Lauren, if you are still listening, don't expect. This isn't going to happen. This is like, you know, Mount Olympus, okay? So I can't. This is just radio here. We're not talking about realism.
So romance as seen through the eyes of Ev Gold of Cinema. What is a romantic...
Or maybe we could put it in the cinema format. Like, if you were going to shoot a film about a romantic scene, like, what would that look like to you? Not that you'd want to see it, but if you were going to like express it, that way Lauren's not expecting this to happen. I know. I'll take the pressure off you.
Yeah, why don't you bounce the ball my way, because I'm a little bit, I rarely am I lost for words, but I'm searching.
Yeah, and you know, to me, I'm a terrible person. Romance would probably include a duct tape flower. I mean, I can't, you know, I'm not so good at like, you know, something that's officially romantic. And luckily, I'm with a partner who is not expecting some of the more box office romantic gestures. You know, so like where our actual physical ceremony for our wedding is taking place on an animal sanctuary upstate in New York.
Awesome.
And
that's awesome.
And it's partially because she is a dedicated and hardcore vegan, and it's a vegan space, and it's just a special place to both of us, but it's especially special to her. And we wanted to give our money to the space too, because they do a lot of great work. And I'll be told I'm not vegan, but you'll never have seen animals smile. Like, I've never seen animal like fart, like a cow or a pig, like with a grin on its face. You've never seen that. So going there and seeing that, you're like, holy shit, what the fuck? Yeah. I didn't know that animals could do that, and they were actually sentient beings, and then I shouldn't be the bad person I am all the time. So to me, I think romance is more of this experience of like pushing into comfortable and uncomfortable spaces. So, you know, going to a farm sanctuary and being around beings that are genuinely happy. I don't want to smell cow shit. That's not romantic necessarily, but it's sort of an adventure being around the wilderness and animals. And, you know, maybe I think my romantic gesture would probably be more around her framework. I don't like nature. I fucking hate nature. I like New York City. I like concrete, and wherever I can go where there's no bugs.
Yeah.
But maybe going and doing something she like, seeing the redwoods and like having a picnic in the red, not with candles, but like, you know, some flameless thing. Like, I think that would be a romantic gesture. That's probably what mine would look like. It would probably be something I'm terribly uncomfortable with that she actually wants.
Gotcha.
That's like adventurous and has the supreme possibility of being miserable and filled with cow shit, but also I love this person and that doesn't bother me because all I see is the smiling animals or the tall trees. And,
yeah.
You know, to me, that's how I see it as romantic.
But, I like that. I like that. I key on the word adventure was one of the things I keyed in that you said. I think the adventure of some sort of a shared experience that brings both her and I calm and a sense of elation. Something as simple as like a beautiful park and our little dog Gus and some really fresh good coffee and conversation that can continue that wraps around everything that's important to me and important to her somehow, and that helps us to realize that we both share these similar views or we can at least appreciate the other's view on similar topics because we kind of in some way were made for each other. That's how it feels. I mean, my favorite times with Lauren, the most romantic stuff winds up coming in these moments where we share these like intricate, intimate conversations about how we really feel about the world and our art and who we are. Oftentimes it'll happen on a Saturday morning out of the clear blue sky. It'll be like all of a sudden it's been the last 45 minutes. So we've been having this really lucid, important conversation that I'm learning from in some way. And in my mind, like I grew up in this little suburban-ish pocket of Brooklyn called Bergen Beach. That if you aren't from Brooklyn, you would never know where Bergen Beach is.
I spent a lot of time in Brooklyn. Yeah. I don't know where Bergen Beach
exactly,
is.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
If you go find Avenue U and follow it until it ends.
Okay. I've been in Bergen Beach then, and I didn't even know.
Yeah. So, Bergen Beach is a baseball field back there. I played on it when I was a young boy and a young adult before I left baseball for my musical endeavors. But, just going for a walk through the baseball fields of Bergen Beach on a tranquil, calm spring day with fresh coffee and our little lovely Pomeranian Gus running around freely off leash and just exploring each other's thoughts. That's where a lot of the romance grows. You know, I mean, we have such great times just going CD and record shopping. You know, like on a Saturday, it'll be like, what do you want to do? Let's go into the city and go for a walk and go to the, you know, there used to be a small handful of shops we'd go to. Yep. Now there's like one or two that we go to. It's like usually Academy Records and Generation. Academy is on like 18th Street and Generation is down in the West Village. But it's, I find with Lauren and I, it's more based on the simple shared experiences than it is the grand gesture. I mean, we love to, you know, she lived in France for a while. She speaks French fluently. We do oftentimes go for French restaurants.
Oh, wow.
She's turned me on to that. I love that a lot. I could eat the garbage off the floor. She's helped to culture me a bit more. But in terms of, you know, like it's always more about the simple beauty in the common moments than it is about the Ramparts red glare bullshit. You know, like that happens too, but you know, when I came back on those breaks from the Black Flag tour and I only had a small amount of time and we tried to run around and do every single thing, we'd spend the first day running around everywhere possible and then the next day and the following two or three days would be just being within 5 feet of each other the whole time, and that was the good time, you know. So again, that might not really trace over you know, the most romantic ways with which, I don't know if this was an advice moment or if this was more like a peek into the private secret world of Ev Gold moment.
That's the
but,
one. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't really know how to be romantic. The hope is that you're with the right person and they find what the normal things that you do to be romantic.
And I guess that's what love ultimately, I mean, that's all you've been saying in my experience. I don't know what love is, but when you're with the right person, it just feels right all the time.
That's it.
And you can't be without that person.
And that's what it is.
And that's as far as I could tell. And those moments, those little moments where you're sharing those things, and it's like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be walking down the red carpet or taking mm-hmm. photography, you know, in LA or something like that. Mm-hmm. You're just like, this is it. This is it. Feels good.
Exactly. And that's why I love the way that you guys are doing your wedding. And I've followed a bit on line as we all, you know, as we all see each other's you know, projects and things that we do, etc., being, you know, social media friends and part of the same or at least I feel like you yourself and my and me, we're a bit of the fabric of whatever bit of scene that is there, here and around. Mm-hmm. There isn't much community left, but I know that, you know,
it's tough.
Yeah, if Joey Steele is alive and kicking, he's in a band and he's doing his thing, and you know the same thing about me. But it's really interesting that you find in the end it's not like none of this is what you expect. And you only know what it is while it's happening, and you can't even put a word on what it is that's happening. You know, it's just kind of it's that secret essence of life. It's that place where words, the sidewalk for words end. And that's, you know, luckily, you know, music, which we both partake in, is predates, you know, language. So it's its own language, and I think that's where it kind of you know, picks up beautifully. But love is that thing that you can't describe, because what is it, you know?
I'm not even sure I'm gonna post all this, Ev, because we're ruining
all our credibility.
Like,
I'm supposed to be this scary fucking punk metal insane dude screaming about bombs and fucking murder.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, love is this thing that you just can't explain, Joey.
Hey, listen.
I don't know. Will you hold my hand as I figure it out?
There's no hand holding
this fucking Christ.
Episode. Listen, we were tough as nails in this fucking episode. We're both covered in blood and glass.
Yeah.
We've been fucking busting glass bottles on each other's faces for the last 6-7 hours.
Just to up our intensity level.
Just to make sure that that's the picture you're all fucking... Go back and rewind the episode. I'm literally about to bleed. I'm going to the hospital right after this is done.
I need to be stitched.
Yeah.
Can you suture my left... There's something on my left arm. I'm
stitches too if I wasn't so fucking tough. All right. That's the, you know, love, stitches. It all goes together. Ev, thank you for coming on here and ruining your rep for us today.
Absolutely my pleasure. I will ruin my rep every time I'm looked at as having some sort of cool or good rep. Please invite me back so I could fucking destroy it.
That's what we're here for.
Fuck you and fuck your rep, everybody. That's all. Be yourself.
And more importantly, thank you, Lauren and Christine.
Yes, the ladies behind the men.
Get down. I want to talk about another show that's happening June 28th. My other band, my Motown hardcore band, my soul punk band, Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters. We play all Motown and soul covers, but doing them like hardcore songs. We're going to be playing with an incredible group of bands on June 28th. It's also a Scenic Presents show, and it's going to be at the Cape House in Brooklyn. And we get a chance to play with some dear friends in Escape from the Zoo, who we're going to close this episode up with later. But before we get to that, I want to play a song from a band I like a great deal, and one of the most commonly played bands in the All Torn Up Tour Van. We the Heathens are from Wisconsin. This is a song called Neurotic Decay. And I love it. I get stuck in my head. I just love singing out the die out, die out. I mean, you're gonna get it. So here it is. Here is We the Heathens from Wisconsin. We'll see you June 28th. They're going to be on tour all across the country, by the way. I'm sure they're coming to a town near you. They were on tour Days and Days, and they're going to be on tour with Escape from the Zoo. So make sure you check them out. Here is We the Heathens from Wisconsin. Get down.
Suppress a beast upon your mind. The worst of thoughts. sides are killing me. Either way, I'll say I fight.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for getting down with us. Thank you again to Ev Gold from Cinema Cinema. Make sure you go pick up their new album, Man Bites Dog, and on their Bandcamp page, cinemacinema.bandcamp.com. If they are coming to a city near you, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. They're an incredible show as well as musicians. There's a ton of shows going on. Make sure you go and give us a like on Dispatch from the Underground on Facebook. Keep up with us over there. We're all over Instagram. You can follow me at Joey Steele NYC on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook or whatever. Tons of stuff going on. It's all too much to break down right now. So get down with us over there and give us a like, and we will break down all these shows for you. Speaking of the yeah, make sure you go to dispatchingtheunderground.com and you can subscribe to this podcast there, as well as make sure that you leave a donation if you can. If you're in a position that you want to leave a donation, please do that. You can buy merch instead if you don't want to fucking just give us your money. I understand that, but it helps if you go and buy some of our merch. That helps as well. So tons of stuff that you can get involved in. A lot of ways you can help the show. Going to iTunes through the subscription, leaving a rating, leaving a review. All of that is a big help. Letting people know, spreading the word. Super important to us. Either way, the show is always going to be free. We'll come at you in a couple weeks with another episode. Pass it around. And until then, I hope you all dug this one. And get down. All right, well, I want to close this episode off with a band I had a chance to play with for the first time and see for the first time in Memphis, Tennessee. And I know all these folks, but I never actually heard them until Memphis. And they are incredible. I'm so glad. I'm so proud to know them, but I'm so glad I get a chance to see them again live and play with them again on June 28th here in New York City. They are on tour all across the country. Again, they're going to be out there with We the Heathens. They're playing right here in New York City June 28th. Here is Escape from the Zoo from Houston, And my favorite song off their newest album, Killicopter. Get down.
You're in a B-fucking movie, and I am the death machine!